Beyond just our ability to see light, since the 1930s, astronomers knew that the secrets of the universe could also be revealed using light. But in this case, it was light left over from the Big Bang and known as the cosmic microwave background. Initially, the problem was detecting it, though. Greg Jackson.
A few kilometres west of Cambridge sits Millard Radio Astronomy Observatory, a collection of what looks like huge satellite dishes that stare at the sky day in, day out. They're on the hunt for a different kind of light, though, a type of light we can't see, and that's radio waves.
I started working on radio waves in 1978, and then I moved to Cambridge in 1984, been working here ever since.
That's Dr. Anthony Lazenby, a cosmologist at Cambridge University, and that buzzing noise you can hear is AMI.
The whole telescope we're standing in is called AMI, and that's for Arc Minute Microkelvin Imager. So that noise we just heard is AMI moving to another source on the sky.
If I were to put on some magic glasses that enabled me to see radio waves just like AMI can, and I looked up at the sky today, what would I see?
Well, you'd see some really bright sources. The sun emits strongly, and there's lots of individual radio sources which have been studied here for many years. But the thing that's behind them all would be a sort of pattern of stipples and little knots of what we call fluctuations in the background. You get hotter bits of the sky, less hot bits of the sky, and these are randomly arranged around us.
And what would these blotches be?
These are basically fossils. The actual photons we see today were emitted about 400,000 years after the Big Bang, and they're extremely important because if you look at their properties, you can infer lots of extremely interesting things about the universe.
These fossilised photons were emitted shortly after the Big Bang, and cosmologists refer to them collectively as the cosmic microwave background. But on Discovery, Arno Penzias and Robert Wilson of the telecommunications company Bell Labs initially thought it was something rather different.
They were at Bell Telephone Labs, and Bell were interested in understanding whether sort of the cosmic noise was possibly going to affect radio communication on Earth. And so an experiment was set up to basically monitor and measure these cosmic sources of noise. And one of the possible explanations for this noise was that it was much nearer to home. It was actually pigeon droppings in the antenna that they were using to look at the sky, because anything locally which is warm will emit radiation and be like, some universal source of noise if it's sufficiently close to you. But they eliminated that. They moved the pigeons out of their nest.
And I'm imagining scraped all the pigeon poo off with it.
Exactly. And after that, they were put in touch with theorists at Princeton University, and they could tell from their observations that it really was intrinsic and coming from the whole sky. And at that moment then, the microwave background had been discovered.
Given that this was discovered in the 60s then, Why are we still looking at the cosmic microwave background today?
Because it's got this amazing information imprinted on it. But to find that information, you have to study it at much higher resolution than was possible initially.
When Bell's team looked out to the universe, measurements of the cosmic background radiation were uniform across the sky. There were no hot patches or cold patches, and this was strange because the universe today, as we see it, isn't one smooth temperature. It's full of stars and galaxies, what cosmologists refer to as structures. And Bell's team should have been able to see footprints of these structures when they were first developing. AKA, they should have been able to see hotter patches and cooler patches imprinted on the sky. Baffling as this was, it turns out it was just a matter of making our telescopes see in higher resolution, and in 1992, a satellite called COBE hit the jackpot. It found these imprints, these ripples, everyone had been searching for. But COBE, followed by subsequent satellites like WMAP and Planck, were only just beginning to uncover the secrets of the universe, and even today, there's still much more to be understood.
what proportion is there of dark energy? How much dark matter is there? How much ordinary matter is there? Is the universe open or closed or flat? All these things you can read off in great detail if you can get really precise measurements of the microwave background.
So the quest continues with Amy and other satellites across the world.
Well, with Amy, certainly the quest continues. Satellites, that's another issue because Planck finished about 2 years ago and we don't have another satellite at the moment. And everyone is extremely keen that we have another mission which can map the whole sky, which only a satellite can do. Continuing the study of the microwave background is incredibly important for moving our physics theories. So we're hopeful that there will be another satellite, but there isn't one yet.
Greer Jackson speaking with Cambridge University's Professor Anthony Lazenby. And thank you very much to all our studio guests this week. That's Max Gray, Richard Clark, and Patrick Degenaar.